You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Joshua Cohen's latest novel, Moving Kings, Yoav and Yuri, 21-year-old veterans of the Israeli Defense Forces in the Gaza War of 2014, have just finished their mandatory service and are expected to take a year off to travel and relax. Instead, they come to New York City to work for a moving and storage company owned by a distant cousin of Yoav. They struggle to adjust to civilian life, although they find an uncomfortable sense of familiarity and routine when they're asked to evict poor and delinquent tenants. Mr. Cohen has written for Harper's, The New York Times, and New York Review of Books. His previous novel, Wits, was named a best book of 2015 by NPR and New York Magazine. Moving Kings is published by Random House. I'm very pleased it has brought Joshua Cohen to our show. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've said Jewish American fiction always ends with assimilation back into the community. What type of Jewish characters did you want to create in this novel?
I wanted to create characters who were very different from the ones we know in America. People who don't feel in some way the other. They don't feel different in the way that Jewish Americans have this idea of being another hyphenated ethnic group in this country. I wanted to bring Israelis to the table in a way that really hasn't been done in Jewish American fiction, to talk about people who embodied their identity completely and didn't feel a part of a subculture.
And how much do you know about Israelis coming to America? There's a lot of Israelis who live in New York City.
Yes, yeah. I've spent a lot of my life in Israel. I have a lot of family there, and there are certainly a lot of Israelis, including many who work as movers. I think New York is actually the second largest diaspora of Israelis abroad. I think the first one is Berlin, which has over 100,000.
The owner of King's Moving Incorporated, David King, is the first character we meet in this book. His name is obviously an inversion of a major Jewish historical figure.
Yeah, King David, who was the, began life as the harpist, as the sweet psalmist, and ended his life so bloodily that he wasn't allowed to rebuild the temple. He was such a military conqueror that it was felt that he could not bring God to the land.
And how does he feel when he goes to Israel?
David King goes to Israel to escape his divorce and to escape a lot of the kind of collapsing decisions of his life in the States. And so he sees in Israel what I think a lot of American Jews, especially of my parents' generation, saw in Israel, which is this this projection of this land where one can get back in touch with one's roots, but simultaneously begin again and live a life that is more authentic in every sense, not least the spiritual.
His cousin, Yoav, is an IDF soldier who's just completed his mandatory duty and fought in the 2014 Gaza War. Why does Yoav decide to come to work in New York as a mover in David's company?
I mean, it's a very kind of typical thing, especially after the war, of which this is the anniversary, after the 67 war. To once you completed your compulsory service to go abroad. I mean, remember, Israel is a country that you can't drive out of, right? And so the idea of going abroad is enormously attractive, and also really represents the first time that Israelis feel in a sense like Jews, because they can exist for a time, whether it be a vacation or a stint living somewhere, as somewhat othered, and so he comes essentially also because his mother sends him there. Mm-hmm. His mother dispatches him.
But not just to travel and experience the rest of the world, as some of his squad mates have.
Right.
He needs to work?
Yeah, I mean, the army is, in a sense, the great equalizer in Israeli society. You have, the children of wealthy families and the children of not so wealthy families, and children of the poorest families serving, and so some people after their service can afford to go to the beaches of Thailand and surf, and other people come and work in the Bronx packing out delinquent tenants.
And they also react differently to what they're asked to do as soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yoav feels a certain amount of guilt for what he had to do.
Very much so. I mean, the idea of this book really came to me really in the wake of the financial crisis and the housing crisis, where I began seeing in New York, you know, you just had a guy on in the Bronx, in Wakefield, Bronx, you begin to see all these people kind of being cast out of their homes. And I was watching these things. First, I was watching them on, you know, on local media, and then I went up there and I went to the protests and the human barricades that tried to prevent the marshals from coming in and evicting people. And there was a memory triggered, and it was saying, I've seen these scenes before. And so it was never really an attempt to make a metaphor or to draw a direct analogy between, you know, the occupation in Palestine, of which this is the 50th anniversary, and the housing crisis or the eviction crisis in New York. It was just to say, these are two things that have the same physical appearance, and I wanted to track a character as he experienced both.
Well, that's Yoav, but Yuri is also working was with the IDF, mm-hmm. and now is working for the moving company. They have different feelings about what they have to do?
Yes, they do. They do. I mean, in a sense, their maturation has been delayed. You know, they went from the bosom of family to the bosom of the army, and now they are free in a free country. And they find themselves doing something that reminds them of their service. For Yoav, this provokes this this real analysis, this self-analysis, and this introspection that tells him that he must, in a sense, engage this politically, and that this is sort of a cauldron of the development of his own personality. Whereas Uri says, we've done this before. We know how to do this. What's the difference? And I think that this idea of giving these opportunities in life in which you can interrogate your own behavior, these are real tests of self, and they meet them in very different ways.
It also addresses the whole issue of a Jewish and Israeli identity.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, you know, and not just because this identity has sort of, you know, had, you know, next year is going to be the 80th anniversary of Israel, has had all this time to develop and kind of diverge, but also they come from very different Israels. They come from an Ashkenazi Israel versus a Mizrahi Israel, an Israel where people come from, or descended of Jews from Arab lands versus descended of Jews from European lands. And so the relationship they have to, quote unquote, you know, the Arab presence is very different.
And wasn't that complicated when all the Russians started coming, and also when a lot of Americans went and became settlers
absolutely.
In the occupied territory.
Well, I mean, one of the things that is complicated, that is the most complicating, I think, element, is just actually the development of these divergent political ideas within Israel. I mean, people forget, you know, this is the settlements, right, which we're now, you know, this is the 50th anniversary of these settlements. The first ones were founded in 1967, and they were begun by the left wing. They were socialist, you know, they were kibbutzim. They were socialist settlements that were built on the ruins of these Palestinian villages. Now, when we talk about settlers, we have this idea of these ultra-Orthodox, you know, Hasidim with the hats and the payas, and we associate it with the far right. And so, in a sense, I wanted to throw all of these, you know, labels and ideas out the window and talk actually about the physical impact on the land and the physical impact on the people.
My guest is Joshua Cohen, whose latest novel is Moving Kings. Did you talk with the former or present IDF soldiers as a way of trying to understand what Yoav and Yuri were going through?
Very much so. I also went to some very, very long getting out of the army parties, which stretched into, you know, a week on the beach.
So we have these two different ways of relating to their Israeli and Jewish identities. And then David King has a daughter named Tammy, and she represents a generational difference.
Absolutely. I mean, the you know, David King in my mind is very much allied to my parents' generation. It was, you know, a generation that was born to survivors, Holocaust survivors, and they are people for whom, you know, politics maybe takes a back seat to what's necessary to survive, to doing what's necessary to survive, whereas Tammy has had the privilege of an education that has allowed her to learn things that can condemn her father's businesses. You know, she understands the political implications of institutional racism, for example, or predatory loan practices, whereas David says, I did what I did to survive.
Now, As a writer, was it difficult to sustain Yoav and Yuri as sympathetic characters when they're doing something that causes so much pain to others?
Oh, I think that's incumbent upon a writer. I mean, to look at almost the worst that any character could do, and to use that as sort of as a test of the development of personality.
Until the end of the book, we mostly get the perspectives of the occupying forces or the evictors.
Right.
Obviously, your intention.
It was my intention. I also have this idea of the sort of suddenness of the trouble that, you know, that an evictee can get into. I wanted to sort of present the feeling of being violated, and in my mind, that feeling of being violated, that feeling of being so vulnerable to a process, actually bespeaks the entire situation of moving. You know, movers show up to sites of failure, right? Couples breaking up, one couple's moving to one apartment, another couple's moving to another. Movers show up to an apartment where someone has died, and the children are there kind of squabbling over the inheritance. But an eviction move is that in the extreme. It is showing up to a disaster.
Well, you're telling the story about displacement and occupation from the perspective of the powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm trying to show it from a person who has access to all of that. I mean, one of the aspects of the powerful is that the powerful see all elements of the process, and yet they decide to be selectively blind.
Your 2010 novel, Wits, was also about Jewish identity, but in that case, a kind of surreal, a book about a time when Jews are dying off because of a plague.
Right. I mean, that was definitely about Jewish Europe. My last book, Book of Numbers, which was from 2015, was you know, also really very much concerned with Jewish identity. But I wanted to write about Israel because I feel like Israel is the abiding subject, not just for, you know, Jewish writers, Jewish American writers, or Jewish writers in general, but I actually think it's an idea that we must engage with if we're going to have any reckoning with what we call the left-right divide.
David Grossman has been a guest on our show a number of times, a great novelist, and he has written about the fact that Hebrew, which is an ancient language that's been made into a modern language, doesn't have certain things like the English ing, which suggests a transition from one thing to another. It's either this or it's that, and he says that has affected the way Israelis view the world.
Absolutely. But you know,
you've translated from Hebrew, also from German?
Yeah, I mean, mostly from Hebrew, but I mean, you know, Grossman, like many Israelis, when they're speaking about Hebrew, you know, they see it from the inside, so they see the limitations. I look at Hebrew and I see the word kaspomat, which is a beautiful word, kaspomat, but it means ATM. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can look at it from either side and see beauties and limitations.
When you lived in Berlin, you also lived in various parts of Central and Eastern Europe, did you feel like you were being treated differently for being Jewish? Because Yoav can't distinguish between Jews and Gentiles while he's in the United States.
Does being assaulted and beaten in Lithuania count as being treated different? So yes.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, people knew that you were Jewish?
I was working at the time as a foreign correspondent for the Jewish Forward. So when you end up lingering around Jewish cemeteries that are going to be cleared for the building of a new ice hockey stadium, people wonder what you're doing wandering among the graves. Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's anti-Semitism all over the world, but people act out in Lithuania simply because they know you're Jewish?
I think people act out for many reasons in many places. I mean, I do think that one of the interesting changes in Europe between when I was there, which was immediately, you know, post-communism, and the present, was a lot of that sort of free-floating anti-Semitism has translated to anti-Muslim hatred. And that was certainly exacerbated by the refugee situation. You know, you can hate Jews, but there are not enough Jews in those countries to hate. When you begin having large populations from Syria sort of encamped near your train stations, and you don't understand why they're there, and you're already sort of predisposed to being angry because of your unemployment and et cetera, then a lot of that same rage and tension just, it found that other target. And that was really a shift.
Joshua Cohn was named one of Granta's best young American novelists this year. His latest novel is Moving Kings. It is published by Random House. Are you going to go back to more fiction, or are you going to write some more nonfiction?
I have a nonfiction book coming out next year, and I have four novels that are sitting around and waiting for me to get back to them. We'll see which one chooses me.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.